Guys.
Yes.
Okay. So, first, to recap what I told when I thought I was giving Sherrod Ahmedin this morning, when I told Ray Wasserman to show you. So, we've only had Sherrod now for, what, 2.5 weeks? And this is... Thank you. And it's time, too, that Adam texts me and tells me that I made a mistake. So yes. Yesterday, Adam... What's at me? And he told me, well, I'm a SoFair.
Wait, do you have a schedule of, like, even to tell you when you did something wrong?
No,
on Tuesday nights, do you have to...
No, but, anyways. So, he pointed out to me that it is easier to understand the Rishonim if you realize that over the years... The exact way that we write letters has changed, and the exact way that we write it now is probably not the way it was looking to them, and therefore it's a bit easier to understand what they're talking about practically in Kotzer Shel Yud if you look at some of the older manuscripts that we have, right, that reflect texts that they might be familiar with. So that was what. So the classic one is the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex is the. We mentioned this already, right? The most authoritative codex that we have. But if you look at the print in the Aleppo Codex, right, and you look at the Yud, right, it looks different than ours, right? And you understand what it might have meant that the lower leg is missing, right? You see what you're looking at there?
It looks like it is missing a little bit, like it's faded.
Compared to what we have. Well, first of all, it's not a Sefer Torah. This is a codex, right? But I printed out just a few copies of 3 different manuscripts. Admittedly, none of them are Sifrei Torah, right? The Aleppo Codex is not a Sifrei Torah, though it's supposed to mimic the letters on a Sifrei Torah. The Leningrad Codex, which is the other most authoritative codex that we have. Again, not a... Right, codex is like a tikkun, essentially. Well, not really. Whatever. A codex is a book of Tanakh that tells us how to write a Sifrei Torah and has the Nikud and has the Ta'amim and all that. And then I... From it, just to get sort of writing from the medieval period, I got the Kaufman manuscript, which is one of the oldest medieval manuscripts we have of the Mishnah. And in each of them, you can see why the Yud looks a little bit different and what it might mean that the top crown or the lower crown or the right side, what that is meaning, what that means might be a bit different. So I just printed out a few copies. You can just pass it around and look and see what I mean. Just look at random Yuds. And you'll see when they talk about the left part that leans down, right? It makes a little bit more sense that that's what they're talking about.
They're not like branches that we've been trying to show on the board or anything. They're not thin.
Correct. They're not like...
They're actual corners.
Yeah, and that's why... And it's much clearer how they would be distinct from the tagin, right? From the crowns, right? Because you're talking... Right, you're talking very much. You see how that's part of the letter.
The only thing that looks dangerous is the end of the yod. The end of the yod varies in length and all of that.
Okay, I mean, remember, none of these are Sefer Torah, these are codexes, right?
Yeah, it's not. Isn't that codex from a Sefer Torah?
No, it's a codex. Like, a codex is just a book of a Chumash or a Tanakh, right, that tells you how to read it, the right Tamim, the right Nikud, the right spelling, the right Chaser, but it's not a Sefer Torah itself, right? It hasn't not held the halachic strictures of a Sefer Torah, right? This just helps you understand what they're looking at. But he argued compellingly that when like Rabbeinu Tam talks about like the part on the bottom, right? You see much more what he's probably talking about, right? It's not like a little thing jutting out. It's the letter, right? Like you see what he's talking about there.
Yep.
Right. Okay. We're all seeing the pictures. We have a big idea. Okay. That's just a little bit of practical. Thing and obviously this is now as I mentioned, right, so we have 4 basic sheet out here that we went over yesterday, right? Whether we're talking about the right side, the left part that's pointing down, the left that's pointing up, or even the end of the right hand side, not the whole right hand side, but part of the right hand side, and then the possibility in the itcher that what we learn from this sugya is that anytime you're missing any tagin, any crowns, that is problematic. So that's where we were yesterday. Now, what we had begun discussing yesterday is why are each of these invalid? And we said, broadly speaking, there are 2 main reasons why something might be invalid. One is that it is not writing at all, and the other is that it's writing, but It's missing something that maybe is unique to the halachot of Sefer Torah. And I said, just for organizational purposes, the best way, I think the easiest way of thinking about it is if you look at the Gemara number 7. The Gemara in 7 introduces a principle in the writing of a Sefer Torah called Ktiva
Tama.
Perfect writing. Right, and I think the easiest way of just, as I mentioned yesterday, of conceptualizing this is simply recognizing that something might be invalid for two basic reasons. One is that it doesn't count as ktiva, right? It's not writing in any way, shape, or form anywhere. And the other is that maybe it is, but Sefer Torah requires tama, requires a certain level of perfection. And as we said, the number one nafkamina to this question is going to be, is this a universal invalidation or not? Right? Is it universally invalidating or not? And I gave you a few sources on that. So let us look at the machloket in number 8. The debate Yosef records between the Agur and the Re Askandarni. Okay, who wants to take? Who got to the Beit Yosef? Someone reads it. Good, Nachum, take the Beit Yosef.
The Kasav Agur, Yud Haregel Kitsar,
Yaaseh
Kitsar, the Akum, the feet small,
Klape small,
the leg of the Yud should be, you should make it
short and twisted towards the left.
The low Tadma Levav, and not long like a vav. Because of Od Hashem,
so that it doesn't look like a vav. Why'd you get long? Shelo Tidme, so it doesn't look like a vav.
Because of Od Hasheni Kotzot, and if you write more than the two,
no, because of Od, he also write
Hasheni Kotzot.
Hashnei Kotzot.
Hashnei Kotzot Yaseh B'Yod. You should make the two Kotzot on the Yod. B'Terem Yitchil Lichtov Osacheres. Before you go on to write another letter, because it will be
Ki psula hi below elu hashnei kotzot.
It will be possible without these two kotzot.
L'divrei Rabbeinu Tam.
These are the words of Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Tam.
Actually, you know what? I did this in... No, you know what? Hold the Beit Yosef, because this is actually the... No, you know what, let's do it. This is the second nafkamina, right? The second nafkamina, I said, we'll get to the question of gittin, right? But I said there are two main questions that we'll see this. And one is whether it spills over into other places. The other is that what is one of the rules, Nachum, in a Sefer Torah? What is very important about a Sefer Torah? In what order does one have to write the Sefer Torah?
Word by word.
In order, thank you. Right? Straight, right? Meaning you can't go back. You have to write it in order. Right? Correct.
Wait a second. So how can you
but, ah... So how can you fix it, right? So it depends on how.
The full word.
So it depends on something is broken, right? If the letter is fundamentally kasher and you just need to add the fixes, that is it still written in order, even if it's puzzle? Yes. If something was so mistaken that it's no longer a letter, what do you need to do?
Erase the whole puzzle.
You have to erase before you can rewrite. Right? Good. So, that's the question that Beit Yosef is talking about.
You have to erase what?
Like, you can't just erase that letter and fill it in the middle. You've got to erase what comes afterwards and go back and write.
You have to erase everything? Like, it's a mistake in the beginning of the erase.
So we'll see later in the Gemara how much. So we'll see how much you have to erase, right? There are certain types of mistakes where, I mean, you might just have to erase the pasuk, but in certain ones, yeah, you have to take the entire, not the whole Torah, but you might have to take the entire leaf, right? And take it out and replace it, right?
Let's say you buy a Sefer Torah. And you don't know.
We'll see. This is what the Gemara talks about, right? Cases where there's invalidations, certain invalidations, there's too many of them, so now you have to replace the page, you have to replace whatever Matzilin is, right, etc. We're gonna get to details of this. But for the moment, right, this is what we're talking about, right? Can you go back, under what circumstances can you go back and just fix the letter? Or do you have to erase whatever you have to erase in order to make sure that the Torah is considered written in order? And you can see how the easiest way of explaining this is going to be right? Again, when what types of mistakes will you have to simply fix, and which ones will you have to go back, erase and rewrite, given that there has to be written in order? Nachum. Again, right?
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking something else. I was thinking, sorry.
Again, right? What types of mistakes do you expect that you'd have to just go back and fix, and you wouldn't have to worry about the order, and which ones would you have to order?
If it's still a letter or not.
Yeah, thank you. So that's what the Beis Yosef is dealing with. So he quotes the Agur, who says that what? Right? That if it doesn't have the two, right, quotes in, however you understand it, of the Yud. So then, right, you got to make sure that those are done before you continue. Why?
Because it's not a kosher letter.
Right, good. Klomar, meaning, v'im katav od acher tchilav achar kach atza kotzot. If you continue to write another letter and then you made the kotzot, have a katav shelo kisidran v'yignizu. What do you have to do?
Out of the order.
Put it in gniza. It's puzzle. You've just messed up your Torah. Right? That's the Agur. What does the Re Askandarni say?
V'zelajunhari Askandarni Nimsa v'Hagos Maimon, that we find in the Hagos Maimon Shemati she'kotz hayod, that if you what is Shemati?
I heard.
Heard that the coats of the Yod, the Akiv l'Rabbeinu Tam, is Ma'akiv to Rabbeinu Tam.
What does that mean?
Connected to what?
No. Ma'akiv prevents you from fulfilling your obligation. L'Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rabbeinu Tam.
So reliant or?
Me'akev prevents you from fulfilling your obligation. That's what that word means.
Yes, yeah, so you have to.
No. That's what it means.
It has its own responsibility to be in its correct form.
No. Me'akev. That's what the word me'akev means. Well, why do you keep saying? This is a translation, not a. Me'akev. Right? Prevents. Prevents you from fulfilling your obligation. Me'akev is to prevent. What?
According to the Rebbe.
Yes.
You see them are occupied on each other. How does that translate?
Prevent each other from fulfilling, right? They are necessary. They prevent each other from being kasher.
Okay.
The words ma'akev means to prevent. Mikol makom.
Nevertheless, it's filling the mezuzah until the mezuzah. Lo im lo asan. If you did not do the kotot, lo pasol. Mi'acher sheshem yod ala. Because the name yod is still on the letter. Afilu below os o kotz. Shemitzad Smoel, that even if it's not with the coats that's on the left side, Aval Beregel Sheltzad Yamin, but with the leg on the right side, Imlo Asabit Chela, Ein Letikna, it is not.
Ein Letakna, you can't fix it, Acharkach.
After it.
Bitfilin Mizuzot Mishum Shein Nikra,
Yud
below to Regel, Nimza Kotvan Shelokisidran. Right? So, what is the... What do they say? What are the Agur and the... Right? Yeah, so what does he say? What is their machlokas? What is their machlokas?
What?
What do they say?
One
of them... The Agur says what? They're arguing. Right? Okay. Which of the letters do they think is not a letter at all? Which mistake? Which kotzo shel yod understanding?
The one that they agree on.
Which one do they think would not be a letter at all?
Which one do they agree would not
if
be
it didn't
a letter
have the
yes.
The one on the right.
Right, Rashi. Yeah. Right? Remember no one liked Rashi? Why did no one like Rashi?
Because it's obvious.
Because obvious. Why is it obvious?
Because it doesn't look even remotely.
Correct, because we're not talking about an invalidation of a letter, we're talking about a non-letter.
Yeah.
Right, and that can't be what we're talking about.
Right.
And everyone else said, well, we must be arguing about something less obvious, namely the kotzo shel yud, something on the left side, right? One of those parts of the left-hand side of the letter. But within that, when Rabbeinu Tam says that without that it's invalid, he could be saying one of two things, right? What could he be saying? He could either be saying it's invalid because
it's not a yud.
It's not a yud, and even though it looks much more like a yud than a yud that's missing the right hand side, in the end of the day, a yud that's missing that part of the left is still not a yud. Right? Or he could be saying, it is a yud, but it's an invalid yud. Right? The nafka mina is, right? What's the difference here going to be?
Can you fix it,
or would you have to erase to fix because it's now out of order? And the Agur and the Real Achsandari, Achsandarni, right? Whatever, right? Argue. The Agur says, how does Rabbeinu Tam conceptualize his Kotzin Shel Yud?
That it's part of the letter.
That it's part of the letter. And therefore, just like according to Rashi, if you were missing it, right? You could not continue. You cannot go back and fix it because you're writing it out of order. It is an invalid letter. Right? Same thing is true if you're missing the coats. And how does, right, how does the Re, whatever his last name is, understand it?
It's still considered a letter.
Correct, it's still a letter. And therefore,
this is Kasav to
it's possible, but it's considered written in order. Right now, by the way, if you look at these, and this is a fair point, Daniel, right? You have a picture there also, right? Right, you sort of understand why you might say that it's not a letter at all when you look at these. Right? When you look at our Yuds, the Ksav Beit Yosef, right? Remember we looked at it yesterday with the little, right, sort of thin lines? It's hard to say that's not a letter if you're missing part of the left side because it very much looks like a Yud. But if you look at these pictures, this is what Adam pointed out to me yesterday. If you look at this picture, do you understand why you might argue that if you're missing part of the... Right, the part that like juts down, why this is not a yud at all?
Yeah.
Right? It's like looking like that. Right? You can see why you might argue that that is, makes it not a yud. Right? The picture makes it make a little bit more sense. There is a plausible reason why that would not be a yud. Right? You could see going both ways much more than in ours. Right? Our yuds, if you just take away a little bit of that, you know, sort of jut, right? Who would look at that and say that's not just a puzzle yud, it's a non-yud? Right, everyone looks at it and can tell it's a yud. Here, you can sort of understand why, if you cut off part of that left-hand side, it sort of looks like a yud, but sort of doesn't, which is why there might be a machloket about this. Yes? Is everyone clear on the pictorial thing?
Yes.
Yeah? Even those of you who are not looking at the picture, do you understand? Right, again, look at the picture, look at the yud, and understand why, if you cut off part of the left-hand side, right, why you could have a plausible machloket if that's a non-yud or just a puzzle yud, right?
This is all in context of you writing it for the first time to create it, to make a separate Torah, or in terms of fixing it?
Same. We're going to get to the fixing, but if something becomes puzzle and then you go back and fix it when it's not a letter, you've now written out of order. Now it's kosher. Now it's puzzle.
Why is the order not set once you already made the Torah?
Because it is puzzle. You just invalidated the letter. It's not there. You're now writing out of order. Right? The word is now meaningless because there's a missing letter, and now you're going back and putting it in out of order.
Welcome. If you were to write it originally and it's the finest way it's supposed to be, but just after use...
I don't want to get into the full things of fixing because we're going to get
there. But after use, like the koto get...
And this is what we're going to get into. We're going to get into the question of how to kosher a Sefer Torah, because that's later in the sugya. But first we got to talk about the different types of invalidations there are. But this seems to be the machloket in the Beit Yosef. The second, right, axis, we said that you judge these things are on... blah, 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 blah. You judge these things on is it invalid in all halachic writing or only in Sefer Torah? So this is the question that Truman Adeshen dealt with.
Well, the Beit Yosef seems like it's just on Tfilin
HaMezuzah. Yes, that's his context clearly. Now let's move to the Truman Adeshen. Who is the Truman Adeshen?
Israel
Isserlein, good.
From Austria.
He is also super... You looked it up. Yeah, good.
1390 through 1460.
Very nice, very nice. Why is he important?
Because he wrote the Truman
Adeshen. Simcha, why is the Truman Adeshen important?
It's every person is
put that away.
It's every person is important.
Why is the Truman Adeshen important? I've granted him his importance now.
He wrote a book of tshuva.
He did, and what is special about his book of tshuva, Yosef and Nachum? Who I expect you to know that. Yes, we do. Why? Because according to Rosh Hechter, again, I've never checked this, but I mentioned this to Rosh Hechter last year. What is unique about the Truman Adeshen? He has the clean sweep. All 354 of his tshuvot are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch Adonai Oseh Kelim. Every last one of them. Right?
You didn't say you can't. You said you haven't personally looked at it or something like that just now.
Correct. I'm not supposed to trust anyone. I said, exactly. Rosh Hechter claims that is true. And I, as I have said, I have not checked. But I offer you all to go look and look. But what I do know is that he's at least important enough that I can't immediately disprove that claim. Right? I do. On this one, I'm taking Rochester's word. You're right. I should never trust anyone. I take it only because I'm not going to go check it. The point being, he's very, very important. Okay? So the Truman Edition writes as follows. So he was asked, Sheila, Ayn, the Kamon, Zimin, Reish, Lamed, Vav, fine. Shin, V'ayn, Shebeget, Im Hayudin, Shebetocha, Einam, Nogot, Behen. V'chein, Masha, Ochore, Atzadi, V'hayud, Shal, Aleph, Im Einogim, Behen, Aval, Im Smuchim, Kolkasha, Tino, Korea, Ot, Beli, Gimgum, Yesh, Kveida, Ki, Aigav, Naim, Lav. And he asked, if in a get, right, on several different letters, whether the tzadi, if the yud part of the tzadi, it doesn't touch it, but people can read it, right? A kid could read it, right? Which we'll get to, right? That was in Chafetam and Beis, right? The kid reading it, is this, basically, are all the strictures that we have in a Sefer Torah important in a get? And he writes, Yir'ed l'cha'ora mu'chach medivrei ha'geonim, diyesh k'peida v'chi'aygavna afilu le'akev. From the Gaonim, it sounds like we care, and without these strictures on the writing, you will prevent you're prevented from fulfilling your obligation. Shrei Katab Or Zaruah Hagadol. Who is the Or Zaruah? Who's the Or Zaruah? What? So in this one, you will not get it because Or Zaruah has nothing to do with his name. His name is Yitzchak. He's from Vienna. Yitzchak of Vienna. Why is his sefer called the Or Zaruah? What? Good. Why would he put that pasuk in? His name is Yitzchak, Ma Kesher. Right? Most people like things with their name. Why is he called the Or Zaruah? So much so, by the way, not only is he the Or Zaruah, his son, Chaim, wrote his sefer called Chaim Or Zaruah. Not junior, but close enough. Or Zaruah Junior, fine. Chaim Or Zaruah, the Marach Or Zaruah. Why is it called the Or Zaruah? It is. If I told this to you last year and you forgot it, I'm sorry. But it's one of the weirdest reasons ever. The Or Zaruah, Reb Yitzchak of Vienna, writes in his Hagdamah that for a long time he just didn't know and was kept up late at night. He just didn't know the answer to this very vexing halakha question. Is Akiva written Aleph, Kuf, Yud, Vet, Aleph, or Aleph, Kuf, Yud, Vet, Hey? This bothered him. Ayin, yes, Akiva starts with an Ayin.
No, what about the end?
Aleph or Hey? Aleph or Hey? Right? He was very, very bothered by this. How should you properly write it? And he didn't know. And suddenly it came to him in a dream. That, if you look at the pasuk, Or Zaruah Latzadik Ulishrei Lev, Simcha, it is Sofei Tevot, right? Meaning the last letter of each word is Or is Reish, so Rebbe, right? The Reish Muchik, right? Zaruah is Ayin, Latzadik is Kuf, Uli Yishrei is Yud, Lev is Bet, Simcha is Hey. And from here he realized that Akiva is spelled with a Hey at the end, and this changed his life, and therefore he named his book Or Zaruah. I kid you not that this is why what it says in Akdama, the Or Zaruah. What?
I would think I would remember something.
You would. So maybe I didn't tell it to you. Yes, but that's Aramaic. And the question is how you halachically spell it.
How do you do it?
So the Or Zaruah said with a hey. And he knew this because of the Sofei Tevot of the Pasuk of Or Zaruah. That's how Dikul Shri Lev Simcha.
It's a mistake to write it with Aleph. It's a mistake to write it with Aleph.
According to Or Zaruah, it is a mistake to write it with an Aleph. Yes.
According to
I don't know how we write in Git.
Why is there a halachic way to write Akiva?
Get. In a get, you need to spell a name right. If not, the get is puzzle. And the woman is still married.
No odd way.
Shoot.
You're in trouble.
That's a problem.
It's a big Shiloh. It's a big, big
Shiloh.
It's a big Shiloh. It is a big problem. Ksubas is a bit of an issue, but it's not such a big deal. But a get is a huge issue. It is a very, very big deal. Okay? Good. So the true Mezadeshin quotes in the Or Zaruah. V'tzareich lechto k'tiva gazav v'lo mishita v'afilu kotzin shel yud ma'akvin beget ad kan. The Or Zaruah held. When you write a get, do you need to write the yuds with the kotzin shel yud? What?
Yes.
Yes, the Or Zaruah says, Yes. Right? What does he clearly think? What does he think about the coats and shel yud? Do they make it a yud, or are they just halachot and sefer Torah?
They make it a yud.
Very good. And what then? Shemona Deshan right? Uvahagot ashri gedola b'maimon. Sorry, vahagot amaimoni agedola b'maimon b'chot tefillin katav v'inei mori rabenu. Sheyud pasali tefillin sheyud shel abba marizal rak v'shul miktzad hayudin shel alfin miktzad hayudin shel chashinin, right? And he quotes all these different things. In the next line, he says v'katav. Leave aside what he's actually talking about in the tufts and everything, but he says v'katav zelo gara mikotzel shel yud. Damrinu v'berka komitz de ma'akev de be'inan k'tivat tama ushlema. He quotes the Agot Maimoni that why is a yud without the coats invalid?
It's not beautiful.
Because it's not k'tiva tama. What would that imply?
That tefillin needs k'tiva tama.
Did it need
oh, that it's still a letter. That it's
they
not.
Need the chup of the letter?
And what is so? Look at the next line. Arei katab ehed yadinu dinan lo gara mikotzel shud v'kotzel shud posel the get. He says, "Ve'ein lomar adiraba midlo posel maharam el mishum dekatavu k'tav tam tima tama." He said, "There's a deal you might want to say, which is that what? That maybe the, that it's only possible in a sefer Torah."
But no.
Ve'lo shurab suka ve'gabeget lo ba'k'tivat tama. You might say it's not true, right? So what the Orzarua says, don't say that. Don't say that that's true. Look at the last line. He says, maybe the Maram is saying two things. This is the last line. So he says, look, on the examples that the Or Zoroa was giving, so the Agon Maimon he was giving, the tough and all that, those are invalid for two reasons. One is, they're not k'tav, they're not k'tiv atama. But what does the Shulchan Aruch imply about the yud without the coats for the purpose of a get? Kosher. Right, kosher. Right? Because, and he tells you why. Because it's not invalid because it's not k'tiva. It's invalid only because
it's not tama.
It's not tama. Right? And here you see, again, this question. If you think it's not writing, then it will be possible in all areas of halachot. If not, right, then it might only be possible in Sifrei Torah, in Tefillin, in Mezuzah. Okay. Now, who got to the? Remember, I said if you finish them, start practicing your modern Hebrew and modern analysis and read. Who did it? Good. So let's start reading it together. So you guys go get yours and go borrow some from Trinibet guys and give it out to guys. Okay. Share with Nate and take his phone away. Don't take it away, but put it away. No. Thanks.
Where are we opening up?
To page 122. To Siman Yudchet, Surat Ha'ot. Yeah, there's one in the front. There, let's... I think we have two more, we'll be okay.
Do you still have your fake shmicha letter? The LED now?
I don't think so. Some peanuts? Turn you on. Number of... Okay, what do you mean? Hold on, give a chance.
You just didn't like how I used your face for one of the stickers.
I deleted it.
It's a funny face. Oh! You purposely did that.
I didn't know you would make it a sticker.
How couldn't I?
Was that the first night when I had that falafel?
No. You said that's the face you made. It's like, look, bro, I gotta take a picture. You faked it, and you just faked the face.
Okay. We have a few copies. We'll share. Okay. So the Rav first quotes the Mechaber. He quotes Shulchan Aruch as follows. Okay, this is in page 122. He writes, "Hamechaber pasak." Right, Shulchan Aruch rules that kol ot shiktuva shelo kitikna ve'ein surata ala. Any letter written improperly, kagon naga regal ha'alef begaga aleph, like if the leg of the aleph touches the roof. Right, Osha Aita Orachar Chalukalashteyot Yod Gugon Sadi Shkadev Yod Nun. Right, a Sadi is made up of a Yod and a Nun. If it gets split into two letters, Va'achar Shekatav Lefanav Chazar V'Ktikneim. And after you write, you go back and write again. So what's the halacha?
It's not considered.
122. Kuf Chaf Bet. Right? So Havei Shelo Kisizran Upsulin, right? We already saw this in the Beit Yosef, right? Meaning the Shulchan Aruch that we just saw is based on the Beit Yosef that we just read. Okay? Shim lo hayu miktat yudin sha'ala alfin vashinin va'ainin v'ragle atavin nogin beguf ha'ot. Right? If the... Right? All these letters aren't connected. B'tinok delo chakim velo tipesh makiram sha'ava v'shikatav levneem yachol lachzor letaknam. But he said, if some of the yods on the aleph, or the shin, and the ayin, or the legs of the tav were touching, and a kid could read them, right? There's just a little bit of fixing that has to be done. So you're allowed to write it out of order. Hamechaber monet ta'uyot misuyamot b'ktivat otiyot sheyefshar letaken b'tfilin la'achar sheyemshich b'ktiva. The Shulchan Aruch lists certain types of mistakes that you're not allowed to go back and fix once you've continued. Mishum sheyesh b'tiknan p'sul shelo k'sidran. Because writing them is considered, right? Fixing them is considered writing out of order. Utayot acherot, and other errors, sheyefshar letaknan af b'tfilin. There are other errors that you're allowed to fix, even out of order, even in tefillin. Ve'ein tiko nan nechshav l'ktiva shelo kisidran. And they're not considered writing out of order. Ha'klal ha'olem midvaravu. Here's the summary of his position. She'im ha'taut pogemet b'tzurat ha'ot. If the mistake affects the letter itself, tikunahu b'gedo k'tiva chadasha, then fixing it is considered writing anew. Mimela. Therefore, if you continue writing, you can't go back and write it, because since the letter stopped being a letter, if you go back and write it, you are rewriting it out of order. But if you have a mistake which only invalidates, but doesn't make it a non-letter, right? Then fixing it isn't considered rewriting it, which would make it out of order. What is it considered? Fixing it. Right? Again, if a mistake makes it a non-letter, going back to fix it is rewriting. If it stays a letter, it's just an invalid letter, then it's just fixing, and the writing is still in order. Below Shayach Bapsul Shul Kisidran, yeah. You could, you... Right, I mean, if you're still there, that's no problem. Right, but once you've continued... And it's
there's seven mistakes throughout the tip of the
So then you can go back and fix it.
But you can't right after you do it fix it.
You could right after. What you can't do is make a mistake that totally makes the letter a non-letter and then continue and then go back. Because then...
That's what I'm saying. If you make a mistake, it makes the law non-letter. And finish the Sefer Torah, can you then
nope.
go back?
Nope. Nope. Then it's puzzle. That would be invalidating the Sefer Torah, because now you're writing it out of order. Right? Because now it's missing a letter. Right? If it just has a minor mistake, that invalidates...
So you'd have to rewrite the entire Sefer Torah, or just that... That part.
You'd have to rewrite, right? The whole Torah is puzzle at that point, right? Now, how you do it is, again, we'll get to, right? Replacing column, replacing, right, etc. But the point is, you can't just go back and fix the letter. How you do fix it, we'll get to. But you can't just go back and connect and correct the letter. Sharia o bitzura ta k'tuva ve'omede. The letter exists. L'kach ein tikuna b'geder k'tivat ha'od elach sharata l'chud. And there, right, the rub is pretty clear, right? The two sides that we've set up. And then fixing it is just fixing it, is making it kosher, but it's not rewriting it. Omnam. But the real question is, Ladun makovei metaud rak bosado. Right? The million-dollar question is, which mistakes count as which type, right? Which are just a fulfillment of ktivat hama, they're just the way the Torah needs it, and which ones are about making a letter. Achina bogemet b'tzurata, oi bogemet b'tzurata, legamrei. She says, binyan ze yesh lachkor. Im kol od v'od yesh la tzura misuyemet, v'kasher yesh pigam b'tzura zo ein gan od klal. You have to ask by every letter, right? Does it have an identity, a form? And if you mess it up, it is no longer an od. V'ema o nikeret v'nikreit, and if it's readable, oshema right, oshema karata od kriata hinko v'tzurata. He said, what does it make something a letter? Is it its form, or the fact that it is readable as a letter, meaning it's recognizable? We call od nikreit al yedei tino ki begeder ot. And any letter that it can be read by a child is a letter. So now the Rav takes us to what is going to be a very important question, and I think we'll do it probably tomorrow, but I want to set it up now, right? Which is the following. On Chavtet Amin Aleph, all the invalidations and validations of letters describe what? He just read it. The form of the letter. The standard on Chavtet Amud Beis, which is, how do you know if something is kosher or not? What do?
You ask a child.
You ask a child, which is about, is that about the form or about readability, right? What? It's about readability, right? Right? But not the form of the letter. It's about the readability of the letter, right? So the Rav reformulates the question. This is really the important question. Our sugya is, what is the connection between the first half and the second half of the sugya? Meaning, right? What makes a letter a letter? Right? It's clear from our sugya. We've already seen this, that sometimes a letter is a letter. It's just a puzzle letter. Sometimes it's a invalid letter. But what is the... And so far we've seen assertions on both sides, right? This is an invalid letter, this is a valid letter, but it's, right, not good for a Sefer Torah. But that question may hang on this other question, which is, what is the connection between the claims on Daf Chavtet, that in order for something to be defined as a letter, it must have a particular form, and the claims on Daf Chavtet Amud Beis, which is, in order to know whether a letter is kasher, it needs to be readable. Now, what might be the relationship between those two? Right? Let's lay out theoretical possibilities.
It has to be both.
So, one is that it has to be both, right? Then what's the connection between Amud Aleph and Amud Bet, right? If it needs to be both, are they connected?
Yeah.
No. Right? Meaning these are two rules being introduced. Right? One would be it needs to have proper form, and even if technically a kid could read it, it is possible if it doesn't have the form. Remember yesterday we talked about this, right? That sometimes, right? Correct, right? That's one way of looking at this. Remember yesterday we talked about this, right? Sometimes you can read a word even if it has the wrong letters in the middle, right? So, if I asked you, is it readable, what would you say?
Yes.
Is it the word that we're looking for?
Nope.
No, right? Meaning we all understand that it's possible that something could be readable but be the wrong letter. And vice versa. Something could technically, right? Right? Maybe you could plausibly, right? In some universe, imagine that this looks like a letter, but if it's not readable, right? Right? Or you could say that they are judged right? That those are related principles.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the Torah considered a misspelled? What is it considered a misspelled? Is it a letter from the place?
Well, that's for sure, Pasol. Nope. Nope. Yep. Same problem. That for sure. Shalom Kisidron is out of order. Right? That's literally Shalom Kisidron is out of order. Nope. Again, we're going to get to exactly how you do all these, but this is the basic principles.
Rabbi Salatonic said we'll have a lot of what-ifs today. So.
What?
Rabbi Salatonic spoke yesterday. He's like, you guys will all have what-ifs today.
Yeah.
What if they're not level one? That it may come to be different. So let's say you had the word...
Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the requirement of sirtut, right? Sirtut is... Nachum, what's sirtut? My sofer.
Oh, the lines.
Correct. You have to write lines. If you ever look in the Sefer Torah, you notice those indented lines. Yeah, that's a problem. Right. We'll get to exactly how this problem. By the way, but sirtut is very different because in the Torah, the line is not below the letter you're writing; it's above. Right. You write from the line down. Right. Not the line up.
Well,
but you're right. Part of the question is going to be that is a question. So now, but for the moment, I want to just read through this, or at least some of this piece by the Rav, because the way he analyzes the Shulchan Aruch is going to help us as we analyze each question independently. Tomorrow, I want to do the question of Tinok, right, and maybe Mukav Gvil. Start Mukav Gvil as well, right? That's the other one here, right? The question of okay. But here's the Rav's attempt in understanding Shulchan Aruch, which again will help model the type of things we're looking for here. So he says, "Mipticharah halacha shlofanenu, mashma shekoveya hiatsurai." At the beginning of the halacha that we just quoted, seems to assume that what makes a letter, the form, right? Because he's talking about any letter which isn't written kitikna, etc. Vimchatsra tzura gamim tinog yachol lekrota. The simple reading of Shulchan Aruch is that if a letter is missing its basic form, even if it's readable, even if a child can read it, ein kan ot, it is not a letter. Right? Now he goes back, quoting, kol ot shektuva shelo tikna ve'ein tzureta aleha kigon naga regel ha'alef begaga alef oshia regel hey, a regal akuf no game, right? Meaning if the legs and the different letters touch when they're not supposed, so should the ora chal chalukal shteyodiot, or the letter gets split into two, kugon sadi shekatav yod nun v'chule, right? Meaning we can all imagine this, right? You can all imagine. Can you all imagine for a moment a tzadi which you would be able to read as a tzadi, but is not kosher, right? Where if there's a little space between the two halves of it, but you look at it and you know what he was trying to do, right? It's readable, but
it's not readable.
But it's not a letter,
because you know what it
right?
Is.
It's readable because you can intuit it. Right, the Shulchan Aruch, right, the Rav is being medayik that according to the Rav, Hakarat Tinok won't help you when the form is missing. Because the form is missing, it's not about readability, it's about this is not the letter, readable or not, it's not a letter. Right? Right? And even if you can sort of tell the guy was trying to do an aleph, he just didn't connect any of the parts, right? He came close to it. Right? We can all imagine this. Right? You're all imagining it? Because I don't have the board to draw it. Right?
It's a form of a letter, but you can't read it.
Right? It's like it's the same way that we all know, right? You sort of know that I'm trying to make an A like this, even though this is obviously not an A, right? This is like, or a Y. This is not really a Y. Right? But you all sort of know that I want a Y, right? Things can be interpretable even if they're not a letter.
Is that a reference to a Christian song?
YMCA is no, a song about a Christian organization.
Oh, okay.
Right?
YMCA is a form of a letter
Christian Young Men Christian Association?
Oh,
no. No.
I know what it stood for either.
I knew the CA stood for a Christian something.
If there's a form of a letter, we can't read it.
What?
If there's the form of a letter, there, we can't read it. Opposite.
Okay, 1 second. So he says, Umash Mashiach Shalatakanan. So the Rav says, well, anytime the Shulchan Aruch describes something as missing its basic form, what is the implication of the Shulchan Aruch? Can you go back and fix it?
No.
No, even if what?
Even if
I feel it's like markiered out, even if it's readable. Ach b'emshech halacha pasaka mechaber shim lo hayu miksat yudin shal alfin vashinin v'ainin v'ragle atavin nogin v'gufa'ot. That if part of the yud on the aleph, etc., are not touching, and a kid understands them, you can go back and fix it. The kevan de tzuret hazot Oh, right, on the character. The form of the letter was visible. Leka mishum ktavan shalokazan, mashum mikan sha'afal pi, sha'od nichlavash shalokazarata. But what's the problem? The mistakes in both the first and the second half of Shulchan Aruch are what? Mistakes in what? The Tshurat Ha'ot. And yet in half of them, the Rav says, that's invalid because the Tshura is missing. The form is missing. In the second half, he says, as long as a child can read it,
it's okay.
It's fine. So he says, Terem, so if we skip down, so skip for a moment because we haven't really seen all the stuff in the middle, but skip to the next page, to Kochav Daled, to where he goes back to our sugya. Laor Hanal, right? So Laor Hanal, Afshar Lachzor LeDivrei Mechaber Binyan Tayo B'Tzarada Odia. Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch. Hare Dvarav Oskim Be'Odiyot HaMurkavot MiYudin Kasher HaYudin Eina Mechubarim LeGofaot. He's talking about letters that are made up of Yuds, but the Yud is not attached. Okay? L'shitato Afshar L'Takein Ta'uyot Elu Im Tinok Makiram. He said, such letters you are allowed to fix as long as a kid can read them. Ve'ein Bazem Mishum K'tiva Shelo K'sidran. It's not considered writing out of order. Nirel has bir alpiyam of war minachot. We can explain it by going back to our Gemara. Vafilu katav achad makvan. Right. So our Gemara had said even a single letter in a sefer Torah prevents you from fulfilling your obligation. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav lo nitzrachay lokotzo shel yud. Lichaora yesh lidayek migmara zo. What does this teach us? Shechisaron kotzo shel yud eino mevatel et tzurat ha'ot. Or the simplest read of our sugya is that is missing a kotzel shel yud. Does it make it a non-letter or does it make it an invalid letter?
Invalid letter.
Invalid. That was why everyone disagreed with Rashi, right? Remember, every Rishon, why did he disagree with Rashi?
Because
Rashi's mistake, they think, make it a non-letter, and they think the sugya should be about letters that are yuds, they're just not halachically significant yuds. Or for Sefer Torah, not perfect yuds. So he says, "Shari baru lagamtachon orachat ma'akev." Because he said, if it was a case where the letter doesn't exist, that would be obvious. Va'avol pichein agmara dan abedin chisar on kotzal shud yud, and yet it still talks to the kotzal yud. Mashma shetzurat ora yud ena piguma avol pisha kotz chaserla. It sounds like something can be a yud even if it's missing a kotz. Umuchach mizeh. What does this prove? Shechisaron kotzo shayud omnam psul midine stam. Right, that a missing kotz of a yud is an invalidation of the world of stam of sefer Torah and tefillin and mezuzah. Ach mikol makom shur ayud beina omedet. Vine. But he said, once you know that. What?
One day we find a perfect topic where we can all swear at each other about it just together.
We have to all know it though.
Or
like know the sugya very well
though. I'm not gonna read the rest of the Rav right now. I'm gonna hold off on it. Right? But the Rav sets up what we just said, right? He says, so one nafkaminez, as we already know, is the question of out of order. But now what he introduces in tomorrow, right? Let me outline what I want you guys to do tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow I want you to try to read this piece by the Rav, right? What we haven't read. Because the Rav is going to take this chakira that we just mentioned about yuds, and he's going to then try to use it to explain the Shulchan Aruch's analysis of letters that are made up of yuds. Right, this is where it gets a little bit tricky, right? Because since the letters in the Sefer Torah are made up of other letters, right? Like a tzadi is a nun plus a yud, right? The Rav is going to argue that the key to understanding the Shulchan Aruch's positions, not just about yuds, but about all those other letters, is how does this question we just asked about yuds, how does it map on?
Oh, because if the target doesn't.
Now you already see how it's going, right? So tomorrow I want you to think about this, right? Is map it onto the other yuds. Right? That's point one. I'm going to print out a source sheet for you tomorrow, right? About, since we've now started on it, this question of the connection between Chavtet of an Amud Aleph, which talks about the form of the letter, and
readability.
And the readability, right? Three. There are three deot in Rishonim and Achronim about how to connect Amud Aleph to Amud Bet, right? But again, we've opened up the issue, which is at first glance, Daf Chavtet talks about the form of letters, and Chavtet Amud Beis, which talks about the kid reading it, talks not about form of letter, but about readability, and what is actually the connection between those two, right? Do you need both? Are they saying the same thing, right? Three shittos on that. We'll see that tomorrow. Okay? And then, probably the day after that, we'll do the Mukav Gvil question, right? That was the, right, the holes in it and the missing parts of parchment. That will take us to, I guess, Sunday, right? Which is when we can move on the next video. What I want to just show you quickly is that if I had to ask you, right, let's just to sort of highlight this. If I had to ask you to guess all the halacha that you find on the next page about crowns, right? If you had to guess, if you're missing a crown, right?
Well, it depends on where.
So what would you tell me? What would you guess? Is that about it not being a letter? Is it not about Ketivat Tama?
Ketivat Tama and the Sefer Torah.
No,
the Sefer Torah halacha needs a crown.
So what would you say, right? Would you say that the crowns make it not a letter? They make it a letter, but possible for Sefer Torah. Yeah. They're only lechatchila on Sefer Torah, but if you don't have them, it's not such a big deal. What would you say?
The Sefer Torah makes it a letter.
So if you look at the Rambam, what does the Rambam say? And again, based on this, you'll understand where these machlokot come from, right? So the Rambam in Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah Bet Tet says the following.
182.
He says, if you look at the last line, he says, "Kol ha'otiyot mituyagot sheish esrei." All the letters that have crowns, these little crowns, are there 16. V'imlo asah tagin o sifigarabehan. If you don't put the crowns, you put too many or too little. Lo pasal. They are not possible.
Yeah, but is this tefillin or this is
Sefer
Torah?
It's not possible.
The context
of that is he's saying there are 16 letters that get crowns in the Torah.
In some.
Whatever. That's why. The context of tefillin. That's why Sefer Torah is different.
He says, right? The lo pasal.
He said lo pasal. But that's tefillin. They're not pasal.
They're not pasal.
That's tefillin.
Yeah, but a Sefer Torah, it might be pasal.
I don't think he does say that. But look for a moment. So the Torah understands it the way I did. This is true of all of them. Look at the Torah. Look at the last source on the page. Guys, last source on the page. Tour. Look at the tour. Look at the tour. Im chaser ela hazionin kadav Rambam she'eno pasul. The Rambam. This is in Hilchot where? Sefer Torah.
We all like that. The Rambam was in
the tour is writing Sefer Torah. V'yireshu pasul. But the tour says it's invalid. Came with the Marava Sheva Otiot Shichin Shlosha Zunin Ma'akvin. V'chein Yirem Milashon Adoni Avi Harash Zal. Shekadav V'chot Tfilin Amashkadu B'shimusha Rava Shazach Tfilin Tagen Acherim Chutz Mishan Hizgatz Im Chitzer Me'em Psulin. He said, I think they are invalid, right? Even not the seven, right? We'll see later on the Amud, there are seven, the Gemara list, that need crowns, right? But all of them, because they are Halacha Moshe Mizinai, right? So now,
because the Rambam is not talking about Sefer Torah, though.
But this analysis, the Rambam versus the Tur, or the Rambam versus the Rush, opens up yet another category that we have, which is what? Right now, just to outline what we have what possibilities do we have? We have things which are non-letters, right? We have things which are letters but are pasul. We have things which are only lechatchila in a sefer Torah, but not only are they not only are they letters, but they're even kasher, they're just not ideal. What? B'dievet is post facto, lechatchila is ab initio, right?
So lechatchila you should have the crowns.
Yes, but right, possible categories that we have are things which are non-letters, things which are letters but invalid for Sefer Torah, things which are even kosher for Sefer Torah, but are b'di'evid, right? That's how the Rambam understands.
That if you did it,
if you're missing the crowns, but again, we might have to distinguish between the seven crowns, Shatnez God's letters, on the bottom of Chatanamad Beis, right? Again, we haven't read it yet, but I'm trying to set you up to understand the way we have to think on these sugyot, because they're a bit technical, but we need to read it, and ones that right? Or only right lechatchil, but even don't pasul. And then the next sort of axis you need to understand things is when we're talking about validation, invalidation of letters, right? There are two poles. There are invalidation, validation that stem from the form of the letter, and then there are those that stem from the readability of the letter, right? Which may or may not be connected. Now, clearly, the crown issue is related to which? The form of the letter, the readability?
Formal.
Form.
Why form?
Because you can still read the letter.
You can read the letter without the crowns.
What are the crowns? Just to get a certain message from it, so you have to read it a certain
way. It's about form. You can read the letter. There are me'achud. You can read the letter. Right? No. Right? Can you not read a letter without the crown?
You can.
It's not about readability. It's about form.
No, I mean the purpose of the crowns is to read a certain message.
No, it's to derive something from its form.
That we don't know.
That's not about readability. That's about form. That's about deriving something from the tag, right? That's not about readability. Readability is, can a child read it, right? That's the standard in halacha. Child, right? So again, what I want you guys to do tomorrow is, we've started, right? I think we should finish this tomorrow, right? Tomorrow we should have no problem in finishing the Rav and reading the three shitot about the connection between Amud Aleph, right, the question of form of letters and the readability issues on Chavtenu and Beis, how are they related? Right? I guess Sunday will have to be the question of Mukav Gvil, and that will finish that, and then I want to at least spend one day just sort of running through the basic sugya about the crowns, right? So, like, reading up to Lamed Amud Aleph, so that, let's say, Monday, right? And then after that, we'll figure out what you want to do, how much of the Sefer Torah stuff you want to do. It sounds like you guys are interested in at least doing some of the questions of, okay, well, how do you correct a Sefer Torah, right? How do we do, which is a little bit later on. We'll see how long we spend the Sefer Torah. Eventually, I do want to get to the Tfilin Sugyas, which are fascinating, that Ginsburg Shear started with. What? And then, and also I really do want to do the Tzitzis and Tchelet Sugyas, which are Malchez. Those are a lot of fun.
Tchelet's
But we'll stop there for now. What? Megillah is a bit different, correct? Megillah is different. Right, because Megillah has a lot more things that are kosher in Megillah that are not in any other Stam. That is 100% correct.
Why do you go right to Megillah anymore?